The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Bassam Aramin and Rami Elchanan are fathers from either side of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, united by each having lost a daughter to the conflict. And despite their loss, they work together to promote peace and reconciliation in their region. Their organization, Parent Circle Families Forum, has been nominated for the 2026 Nobel Peace Prize. They're in Dublin at an event run by Throkra. Gentlemen, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Now, I know you've probably told this story many times before, but for our listeners who are not familiar, perhaps you would tell me how you lost your daughters and then ultimately how you met.
I lost my daughter in a suicide bombing in the center of Jerusalem, 4th of September, 1997. Bibi Netanyahu was just beginning to be prime minister. He declared the erection of a new neighborhood in East Jerusalem called Har Choma. And the reaction was this bombing.
And your daughter was one of the
casualties. My daughter was 14 years old. It was the first day of school. She was going down the mall to buy some new books for the new year. There were two suicide bombers. They killed five people that day, injured hundreds. A beginning of a long and cold night.
A long and cold night. It's hard to even imagine your loss on the day. I mean, so many people injured, but of the five who died, one was your beloved daughter. It's just unconscionable.
Yeah. At first, when you hear about the explosion, you keep hoping that this time this finger will not turn towards you.
Yeah.
Then you find yourself running in the streets trying to find her. She completely vanished. And you go from hospital to hospital and from police station to police station, many long, frustrating hours, until eventually, very late that night, you find yourself in the morgue and the finger is stuck between your eyes and you see this sight which you will never, ever be able to forget for the rest of your life.
You'd imagine that the death of your daughter resulted in a deep and abiding hatred in you of the Palestinians who did it and also what they represented. That turned out not to be the case. But at the time, was that emotion?
The automatic response is deep anger. But, you know, there are 7 days of the Jewish mourning period, the Shiva. You are enveloped by thousands and thousands of people coming to pay respect. It's a very clever traditional way to ease your passage to the
grief.
New life which expects you. And it's a chance to think. And when you wake up after the 7 days and you face yourself and you need to get a decision, what are you going to do with this new reality? And the automatic response is getting even. But then you understand you are human beings, you're not animal. And you think, will killing anyone will bring her back? Will causing pain to someone will ease your pain? The answer is certainly not. So you try to understand what happened here. Why did it happen? How could someone be so angry, so mad, so hopeless that he's willing to blow himself up with 14 years old little girl? And then you keep on thinking, well, do I have a connection to it? Some kind of responsibility? It starts a journey, which I'm in the middle of it after 29 years.
Bassam, in your case, your daughter had died as a result of a fairly minor street altercation.
In fact, she didn't die. She murdered. She killed. I lost my 10-year-old daughter, Abir. She was 10 years old in front of her school. From a distance of 15 to 20 meters in her head, from the back, rubber bullet, American rubber bullet by an Israeli soldier.
There was a minor stone throwing incident and they opened fire with rubber bullets.
At all. It was nothing.
Nothing. As I say, a trivial street altercation.
Exactly, unfortunately. In fact, 10 years after the tragedy of Rami, that we don't know each other. Abir born and she killed and died in the same hospital where Smadar born and died. But we discover that it's our common enemy. It's the Israeli occupation. If there is no occupation, we don't need to kill each other. We don't need to fight each other. In fact, when I met Rami back in 2005, before my tragedy, 2 years before, I was one of the co-founders of a group called Combatants for Peace, which is from the Palestinian side, ex-prisoners or ex-freedom fighters, and from the Israeli side, ex-soldiers and officers. So Rami's son was among them. Then 2 months later, I met Rami in the same, he came to see those people, and I believe directly he fell in love with me. We became a very close friends.
Okay.
We started to build this partnership.
And this was before your tragedy?
2 years before my tragedy.
That's quite extraordinary, because I've always read about the pair of you that it was as a result of your tragedies that you were brought together. But in fact, you had been in prison because you were part of the resistance.
Exactly.
And you had decided on a new path. And that was what brought you together rather than the subsequent tragedy.
Exactly.
When she was killed by that rubber bullet, did you falter in your determination to follow that path?
You know, I am a human being. The same day I said that we need to double our efforts to achieve peace, especially now. And because I lost my daughter, because I have another 5 kids, simply I want to protect them. So you become more determined. This is why me and Rami, we are brothers, we are family, and our goal is to protect the Israelis and the Palestinians alike. We have the right to exist. We will live in peace in one day. For how long we can continue to kill each other?
When people from either side meet you, what do they think of your friendship and your efforts to bring peace? I mean, are they suspicious of you? Are they condescending? Do they dislike you?
It depends. It varies from society to society, from group of people to group of people. In Israel, the society is so angry, so full of anger and hatred, that many people think I lost my mind because of my sorrow. But in Bassam society, he's considered to be a hero. He spent 7 years in jail. He lost his daughter. They look up to him and they admire him. In my society, it's a little bit more difficult, more complicated. But it's a society with the respect to those who paid the price, and they are willing to listen. Mm. And I use this willingness in order to show the only way out of this endless cycle of violence.
One of the things we try to do on this program is to indicate that being pro an independent state for Gaza does not mean that you approve of what happened on October the 7th.
Absolutely.
And equally, it doesn't mean that if you are anti the activities of the Israeli government, that you're anti-Semitic. But those are subtleties that are sometimes very hard to get across.
We believe if there is a peace agreement between Israel and Palestine, we will never have the 7th of October. You know, Israel tried to make peace with the rest of the world, with the Arab states, with the Gulf states, with Sudan, with Iraq, but not with the Palestinians. It doesn't work. Imagine this fancy, the wall between Gaza and Israel. They invest in billion and billion of dollars to build it. It fell down in 2 hours with people on motor parks. What's that mean? The only guarantee for the Israeli security is the Palestinian freedom. We have the right to have our own state so we can live in peace and security. Otherwise, unfortunately, as long as the occupation continues, we will continue to sacrifice the blood of our kids from both sides.
One of the things that we find hard to understand here, October the 7th was an appalling atrocity, and we know how many people died, some 1,200 died, and I made the comparison, if it happened in Ireland, for example, it would be the equivalent of maybe 600 or 700 dying in one day, and we would be deeply shocked and we would be angry and we'd want to find the perpetrators and maybe destroy them and their homes. But what we equally find impossible to understand is the scale of the retribution by Israel. It is completely disproportionate. I mean, it's not an eye for an eye. It's, you know, 1,000 eyes for one eye.
No, I'm being an Israeli, being a Jew, I'm ashamed of what happened in Gaza. The conflict did not start on October 7th and will not end on October 8th. And we need to learn how to live with each other. Now, if you deny any existence of someone to talk to, You don't have to talk to anyone. Then you don't have to give up anything. And then you try to manage the conflict. Managing the conflict, the immediate outcome is October 7th. And we knew in advance, we talked about it all the time, that it will blow up in our faces.
Yeah.
We never dreamed about the scale of it. But the right for self-defense is not the right to commit revenge. The right to self-defense is not, you have to think of what you do and the consequences. The killers of Hamas were kids in 2014 when Israel attacked Gaza. These are the perpetrators of October 7th. Who will be the perpetrators of the next event and the cycle of violence which never ends? You need to stop it. And we are the authority to say we pay the highest price possible.
Sure.
And we see very clear what needs to be done in order to solve this problem.
Do you see any parallels at all with the Irish peace process? I mean, we always say again on this program, you don't have to like your neighbor to live beside them and not bother them. I mean, and that is still true. We've got peace lines in Belfast, you know, communities are still maybe not that fond of each other, but they're not killing each other anymore.
This is exactly what I said when we create Combatants for Peace. The first time I said, we don't need to love each other, even we don't need to like each other.
Yeah.
You can enjoy hating me forever, it's up to you.
In the end, just leave me alone.
You will have heart attack, it's up to you. But respect me, my borders, my right to exist, I will respect yours. Then maybe with time we try to trust each other, to live together, it will work. But this is not a precondition to love each other. As you said, this is what we learn from you. You have 50 walls for peace. Maybe you don't like each other, but you don't kill each other.
Yeah.
This is the point that we want to start from. But in the end, we need to have a reconciliation process to have a lasting peace. Otherwise, it's very easy to revive the hatred again. It should be built on justice. It means we have the right to create our own state, and that's it.
And the problem is that this trouble was born out of the desire by the British particularly to provide Jewish people from Europe with their own state without thinking of what does it mean to take the land from other people.
It started even before. I mean, the start was a land without a people for a people without a land.
Yeah.
And the problem, we can look back and dig into the wounds and try to find out who did what to whom and blame each other forever. What's important, and this is apropos the Irish case, we were taken to the walls in Belfast. Mm-hmm. You don't forget anything. You don't forgive anything. Until today, 800 years, you fought each other, you killed each other, and you still don't have a reconciliation process. In our case, after 3,000 years of Jewish victimhood, when we send our kids to Auschwitz when they are 16 years old, they get back, they go join the army, and this 18-year-old kid stands in a checkpoint, and he has to make a decision whether this old man coming towards him is terrorist or just a grandfather, which is inhuman to put this kind of responsibility on the shoulders of young boy. So we need to find a way out of it. We need to find a way of, and the only way, we can have one state, we can have two states, we can have 10,000 states, we can have federation, we can have confederation. One word is essential, and without it, nothing will happen. And the word is respect. And you have to be able to respect the guy next to you exactly as you want to be respected. No more and no less. Once you achieve this, all the rest are technicalities. I will tell you very clearly. From the river to the sea, there are 14 million people. Half of them under military rule. Half of them don't have any kind of democratic elections. Half of them don't participate in the process which make the rules according which they are spending time in jail. So you can call someone terrorist or a freedom fighter, if you want to find a way out of it, you need to stop it.
So how will this, I mean, your efforts are phenomenal, but how will it move forward? I mean, where is the historic figure who's going to come forward and help make this happen?
I believe it's the people who elect those people. They didn't come from the sky.
Sure.
Their people, it's our responsibility as the international community to let someone crazy manage the world itself. So I think this is a disaster, and it brings disasters for the Israelis, for the Palestinians, for the region. And I believe that we need to start to elect the right people.
I think peace will prevail the minute the price of not having peace will exceed the price of peace. Only then we will crawl back to the negotiating table where we stopped in October 2000.
Yeah.
And we restart, because there is no other way but talking to each other. And the sooner we will understand it, the sooner it will happen. It took the Irish 800 years.
Indeed.
And they still don't like each other.
I think that's the best note upon which to end our conversation. Bassam Aramin and Rami Elhanan, thank you both very much for joining us on the program today.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
At Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.